I think it's super important to be very protective of our energy and ourselves. Like, if there's someone who's stealing your energy or making you feel anxious, listen to yourself. Why do you feel so anxious about this person? You should not have it around.
Hello, hello, all my beautiful leading ladies. Welcome to our show. I'm Antoinette Westcott, your host, here with my co-host, Renee L. Page.
Oh, hello, 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 leading ladies. Let's see how Esther's going to lead us today. Welcome, Esther.
Hi, girls. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yes.
So Esther Naya is an electric violinist, singer, songwriter, and DJ from Colombia. What an incredible list of talents. She has come to the U.S. with her family seeking political asylum in 2002, saying in a previous interview, the only thing that she brought with her was her violin and her luggage. As you can tell, music runs in her blood. She founded a nonprofit called ASAF Angels. The organization serves underprivileged youth in her home country of Colombia and other countries around South and Central America, as well as in the U.S., introducing them to music education. Anaya's love of music and sharing that love to the world is evident in everything she does. Look at all the violins on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here and share a little bit about my journey, my story with you guys. Thank you for the introduction, Antoinette.
Hola.
Hola. Good Spanish. I can hear it.
Oh, I always have an opportunity to practice my Spanish. Always say I'm a Renee.
I love it.
Thank you. Renee's a nurse and practices all the time. Every time we have a guest that speaks Spanish.
All I know is de lo. That's all I know. I'm joking.
That is so funny.
Well, we're going to start with a few rapid fire questions just to get to know you a little bit, and our viewers can learn stuff about you maybe they didn't know.
Sure.
What's your favorite book?
You know, The Art of War. Have you guys heard of it?
Yes. Yes.
Such a great book.
Yes.
When I read it the first time, I was like, oh my God, this is such a great book. Everybody needs to read it. It like literally like confirmed that what I was doing was the right thing, because I was always scared. I was like super scared of like, oh my God, should I like go beyond of what I'm doing now? Like, okay, I'm playing the violin now, but I should go as a solo artist. Oh, I'm so afraid. And I was like, if I'm scared of it, that's what I should do. Like, I should challenge myself, because that's what you have to break through, the fear, because fear is, it doesn't exist. Fear is just a limitation of your mind. It's something that is just like an invisible wall that is just like there, but it's not there. Like, it's just in your mind. So yeah, I love that book.
Yes.
If you could have coffee with one person, who would it be?
I will go back to like Jesus, you know? I'm Christian. I come from a Christian family, and I think I would have loved to sit down and have coffee with him, like in Israel during before, like, you know, he was crucified. I think it would be like, you know, I'm very like intrigued and I would like to know so many things. So that would be like iconic for me.
What's one question you would ask?
Yeah,
I think I would ask, what could be a description of what's beyond life. So from like, I know heaven, everybody talks about heaven, but I would like a deeper description, like what is actually heaven. And I'll ask
is it better?
Yeah, like what's heaven? I know everybody has this conception of heaven, but I think it's just far beyond that. It's happiness and this, but I really would like to dig into like, what is the life after when we're gone? And I will actually ask like, you know, purpose in life, you know, things that like, I would probably would like to like, you know, what's a purpose? What's something that as a human I should carry on? And like a lot of advice, because I like to ask advice always. I seek for advice. I think this is one of the best things. It's like when you meet someone, it's like digging into their brain, like, because everybody has so much knowledge, and that's like getting to know someone. It's like allowing them to share their knowledge with you.
Well, what would be one of your best pieces of advice for self-care?
I would say that to be present. It's one of the advices. I feel like self-care requires a lot of being conscious of now, like, you know, and being aware of the things that you need now and the things that you're lacking so you can work on it. One of the things I've learned, it's like, how do I feel today? You know, so sometimes I'm like running around, going here, going there, and I'm like literally sitting down and being, am I happy? Am I sad? Am I frustrated? Do I feel anxious? Because I'm like, oh, I have to run here. So it's super important that we are aware of our feelings, our present, and so we could make arrangements. It's super important. Like if at one point you feel sad, it's like, it's very important to communicate those things to people that are around you, that listen to you. And also, you know, make sure that there's people that love you and they're willing to help you through any hard moments. At the same time, like, you know, when I feel frustrated about something, I'm like, okay, I need to stop. What is making me frustrated right now? Mm-hmm. Is it like my surroundings, my schedule? I'm like, if I am not feeling good, I cannot give my 100 potential. So if
you
don't
check in with yourself,
exactly. So super important to check in within yourself and being aware and being honest with yourself. So that is the way how I kind of like keep myself in check and keep myself like in sanity, because I feel we all go through so many things in life, and everybody could relate. Like nobody has a perfect life. Whoever says that, it's completely lying. Yeah, completely lying. So I try to be the most transparent I could be with myself and people around me.
If you could switch careers and you weren't in music, what would you try?
Oh my God. If I cannot pick anything related to music, what would be another career that I would choose? I would probably choose something humanitarian.
Okay.
Just because I like to make change in life. Okay. Like I like to do something that it's that it could change lives. So maybe something related to public speaker, maybe public speaker, or have a foundation or company that would help battered women and still be in the nonprofit area with kids and something with development, because I feel like our world needs so much of you know, like leaders that could help, you know, like kids, and like help all their other people through through their life journeys. And I would definitely would love to help in somehow, some way possible.
Like Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
What's the first thing you do every morning?
I am grateful for being alive. I do my meditation and prayer time. I have a book that I'm reading, and it's a 40-day prayer challenge. So that's like a good kind of like reflecting devotional that I do. And then I drink my tea, my matcha tea, and start my day, feed my puppy.
What kind of tea do you drink?
Matcha.
Matcha?
I love matcha. And it's like collagen infused. Love it. Oh. Tastes amazing. Put one like spoon in my water, you know, stir it, drink it while I'm reading, do my prayer, and good to go my day.
Well, this is my favorite questions I like to ask, because I'm a loser.
No.
Definitely not.
No, what prevents you, when I ask the question, you're going to realize, what prevents you from hitting the snooze button? I hit the snooze button.
What prevents me?
From hitting the snooze button and just jumping up, putting your slippers on and getting your matcha and getting going. Because I hit the snooze button, so I'm a loser.
I've done it, but not after certain times. So I like put my snooze, my wake up time way before what I want to wake up, because I
hit it.
So usually I put it like at 6 a.m. and then by like 6:45, I'm awake, or 7 the latest.
Yes.
So, okay. So you do hit it.
So but you have to calculate that time in.
Yes, have that strategy. Okay. You should do it because I know it's like engraved in your head. You kind of like snooze, and then it's like, oh, I'm waking up at the right time.
Yep, I hit it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
We're all guilty.
Snooze club.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, I love this question. What's your favorite purchase under $100 in 2021?
Oh, so many. I mean, like, under $100, I bought a lot of things. I bought, like, clothes under $100. I bought, like, but I will probably say, not purchase, but I've donated a lot of things under $100 that have been, like, very helpful to other people, you know, like, from, like, clothes, like, money that I've, like, gave to, you know, people on the streets. But for myself, I bought so many things under $100, guys. I could share that in Instagram too, because there's like so many good things that you could buy. I would say like the most, like, you know, giving flowers to my fiance or like my family have been like less than $100. And I enjoy that, you know, like that giving, you know, something like that, you know, in life, because giving flowers, you know, it's beautiful to give now that you're alive too.
Yeah.
Know?
I love buying flowers and coming home the next day and seeing them. I'm like,
oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love flowers? I feel like it's okay to give flowers to guys too.
Yeah. They're the romantic ones, not us.
I've never given flowers to a guy.
I like giving flowers to like everybody. I love flowers.
Is that, you know, nothing wrong with it. I mean,
yeah,
I've never given flowers for a guy.
Like, no, they're not worthy.
No, I just never thought about that, giving flowers for a guy. Never.
It has to be a very special guy, you know?
Yeah.
Very special.
Very special. Yeah. Make me want to give him flowers. Like, here, babe, here's a bouquet of roses. What is it?
Nice
roses.
Just because.
Yeah.
Yes. I saw the flower man and I thought about you.
I thought about you. Yeah.
Very special.
Okay. You're with the playing the violin and you're reaching all these new audiences and you're making it cool to play an instrument, you know, because in my high school, like if you played an instrument or you were in the band, you know, you're the band dorks, you know, like you're making it cool.
Yeah, I think that was like one of the things I always, since I was little, I wanted to make sure I would portray through music. And it was just getting out of the comfort zone, I would say, because playing in the orchestra for me was amazing. And I'm going to be honest, I was not the best. And that's one of the things that I could say I was one of the first chairs one time. And as I kept growing, classical music, I love it. But there's a lot of amazing other violinists around. But where is the thing? I found my niche and I knew what I liked. And I was like, okay, I like contemporary music with a touch of classical music, my roots, and then incorporating my culture on it and being more free. And that's where I started playing to all these different genres and kind of like creating what fits for myself and what I could give the best of myself at. And that's what defined me as an artist. And that's the style of music I play and what I've been able to record and share with my fans and my public.
So how did you add DJing to the mix? Because I'm excited to hear about that. I'm just thinking of the mixing and scratching, you know, Spinderella. That's what I, you know.
Yeah, you know, so when I was 18 years old, not too long ago, I was playing. I remember I got hired to perform at a lot of private events and parties with DJs playing the violin. And I loved it, but, you know, like just like playing the violin to all these different genres. And as the years passed by, I realized that I loved doing it too. And I was like, I like to do a lot of things on my own. Right. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yes.
But as a team player, I'm also a good team player. I'm also a leader. But when it comes to music, I was like, I love DJing. I'm going to start DJing. And then I got into classes. I had private instructors, went to production music school, and I learned how to DJ. And there I had fully control of my craft, which allowed me to be more creative in the fact that I was not depending on someone else to be able to get another gig or work or go into. So now, like, basically I'm a band in one, because DJ, playing the violin and singing, it's like all the components that I've always loved to do, and I could do it on myself. And I cannot blame anybody else for anything. Like, oh, this doesn't sound. No, it's all the pressure.
And you're like Michael Jackson. You got all the, you play all this, all the lyrics, all the music.
You know, it's like, I would say, like, you know, it's a lot more challenging, but I like that because I like to challenge myself. I like to get better and I want to be the best and whatever it takes and keep training and keep learning, because it's a learning process, and keep practicing, because I still practice. It's like people that say, like, oh, I don't practice. No, I do practice. I put time into my craft just because I want to deliver the best of myself. I think my fans deserve it.
Do you have a mix CD that we can get?
Absolutely. I have my music. Yes. I'm actually putting out a couple of mixes. I haven't been too active on SoundCloud, guys, but now with my residency in Vegas, I will be posting all my mixes live there. And my music is on Spotify, so you guys can definitely click on my name and listen to a wide variety of different genres and my songs where I'm singing, playing violin.
What would you say your genre is? Because you have like such an influence of everything.
Yes.
like you say in Latin culture, a tutti frutti.
Ah! You know? Okay.
Have you guys had that before?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
So it's a drink that have all these kind of fruits. So it's like, it's an influence of all this, like the best of all these fruits. So basically.
So if someone iconic, if you could be that band for them at a live concert and doing all that for, who would that one person be?
Michael Jackson. And you have mentioned, I watched actually a documentary of Michael Jackson's last tour before he passed away.
Okay.
The way how he had the crowd engaged, I have not seen it.
Wow.
Ever again.
No.
Like,
no.
How people were singing each one of his songs with passion and crying. Around like the impact he had, and he was the greatest at everything. Dancing, yeah. Singing, team player, leader, composer.
Dancing?
Yeah, oh, like, yes.
Dancing, he was the best. For me, I consider Michael Jackson the biggest, the biggest artist in the world, in the history, for myself, and someone that I admire amazingly the most, how perfectionist he was and how involved he was in his, like, every performance that he did. Like, I remember that I met one of his tour managers, and he said that he would never, he would not go to sleep, even if he didn't, if things were not the way, like, how he wanted it to be. Like, he would stay up the whole night, like, practicing, and that's, like, very rare. Like, it's not that common anymore, like, so much sacrifice and you know, I feel like it's super important to always keep, no matter how big you get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Michael Jackson is iconic. So, but I read that you worked with Kanye West, mm-hmm. Rihanna. How was that experience?
Oh, that was great. I remember it was 2011 for the All-Star Game, and I performed with Rihanna the Umbrella song. So it was really good. Yeah. Yes, that's one of my favorite songs. And she was a very sweet girl, like, you know, she was very professional when we had the rehearsals. And I remember her stage presence was so great. Kanye also, he was like very on point. Like, these are super professional people that I always admire for many years. So yeah, I loved it. And I can't wait for that to repeat again soon.
So if we can go to a little bit more about you, I had to look this up. You and your family left Colombia through political asylum. Can you tell us like what political asylum is? Because I had to look it up.
Political asylum, it's when you leave your country because of any threatened situation that could affect your life, and you are taken into a different country and they kind of like take you to protect you. Okay. So that's, I got US political asylum. We came to this country, left our country because of just, you know, at that time the guerrilla was affecting family situation, got a couple of family members threatened and a couple killed many years ago.
Of your family?
Over 20 years, wow. Over 20 years ago. And we left and came to the US. They took us, we got all our papers, 10 years we had to stay in this country and didn't go back to Colombia after 10 years. And
went back. I'm sure you didn't want to go back.
Yeah.
Just for those years, it was safer for us to stay here. But then mm-hmm. our country situation got better. Actually, the government changed and then now it's very safe and there's no threats for our family whatsoever. So it's very, very safe. Afterwards, there was a lot of like good things happening in our country, thank God. So I was very grateful that we were political asylum in the US. And it was like hard for my whole family. I feel like I consider myself as an immigrant. You know, we have to leave our country for, you know, XY situation and come to this country and hope for a better, you know, life. And that's actually what happened. I'm grateful to be in this country, grateful that, you know, those programs exist in this country, you know, to help people like me in that situation. And
did you understand what was going on at the time?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how young you were. So
I was completely aware of the whole situation, which was kind of like, you know, harsh. Yeah. Harsh for myself. I feel like growing up, you always kind of like delete from your memory anything that could be painful. And it's just like a mechanism of defense that we all have, right? Because I'm like, oh my God, I don't remember that. And my mom reminds me, don't you remember that this and that happened to us? And I was like, I had completely forgotten. And I was like, it's because our mind just like don't want to tap into anything that brings sadness or brings any type of, you know, that feeling that you don't really want to feel.
So you never suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome from that experience?
Not anymore. I do remember a couple of things. I feel like, you know, like a lot of time has passed by and I feel now I've been able to overcome anything that like at that point was affecting my life and we're safe now and our country is doing much better, which makes me very happy. I've been back to my country in a safe situation. Okay. And that's what, like, you know, I'm glad it's like that now.
Yeah. Wow. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. What's your first memory of being in the US?
My first memory, I remember arriving to this country and going to McDonald's with my family and having a Big Mac. And at that time, it was the Big Macs were a dollar. Yes. And I loved it because I loved McDonald's back then. Not anymore. I don't eat McDonald's anymore, but I loved it. And I remember my family and I went to McDonald's and had McDonald's.
They have McDonald's in Colombia, right?
At that time, not in my city, actually. Yeah, they didn't. So it was like, you know, it was like 20 years ago. So I was like little and then like, you know.
What city are you from?
I was born in Monteria, did not live in Monteria at all, but I always went to visit my family. So I lived in Barranquilla, Sincelejo, Santa Marta, Cartagena. So I lived in those four cities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I literally moved very often growing up. And I think that actually helped my personality a lot to adapt easily to like new environments. And I was like very like, you know, sociable growing up because it's like my dad's job. He used to work with the government and as a veterinarian as well, but for the state and the government. And we used to like, they used to like transfer him from one city to the other city, to the other city. So every time he will be like, okay, 1-2 years pass by, we got to move. It's like, okay,
bye. So is that hard? Like, you know, making new friends every few years and then coming to the US, like, did you know English when you came?
Not at all. I remember I was like the new different girl because people would look at me like if I was like from another planet. I used to wear all pink and I was like super girly, like wearing all feathers in my pen. And like, I was just like this like Colombian girl wearing all this like bandanas, like little things with flowers in her hair, because that was like Colombians are very colorful and our fashion is very like all over the place. Okay. So when I got to the US, I went to, I was a freshman. And then like, when I got there, I was like, people were like, who is this girl? And I was like, in Spanish, I don't speak English. But I made so many friends that spoke Spanish and would translate classes for me. And I will become friends with anybody that would speak Spanish. I'll be like, oh, will you mind translating for me, please? So it's like, okay, sure. So, you know, yeah, some people were kind of like, okay, I don't want to talk to her. She doesn't speak any English. But I'm like, I didn't let that affect me or like stop me from being who I am. I feel there's always going to be any type of, you know, resistance when you're trying to penetrate a different culture or anything it is in life. There's always going to be like those people that are like, no. But I feel like in life, you just like have to be aware of that. And like, if you don't have to have those people around. And I went with the people that actually accepted me. And I graduated with everybody. I went to college and I got my degree. I got my bachelor's degree, business management, human resources.
Oh, nice. Where'd you go to college?
Cal State Dominguez Hills.
Where's that?
In Carson.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was like a good experience. And I was like, at that time, I was like traveling the world, playing the violin at the same time. So I was like, juggling between getting my bachelor's degree and having a professional career at the same time, which I didn't want to go to school. And my parents were like, no, you have to graduate. You have to bring a degree home for plan B. And I was like, there's no plan B for me. There's no plan B, but I'm going to do it for respect for my parents. I'm going to go to school and I'm going to graduate. It took me longer than what it was supposed to take me because I was like traveling like overseas, touring and playing. And then I had to be back and then go take an exam and like, you know, turning a paper and all this. But the professors were very like acceptance of that. And, you know, they helped me through college. Yeah. They were like, okay, you're playing the violin. You're doing what you love. You have a career, you know. Yeah, you could send it to me. Yeah, I can meet you. You could do the exam this other day. So I was grateful for that.
Did you have to take, now when you came here, did back then, did you have to take that citizenship exam? Did you have to take that?
Yes.
How was that? Was that challenging for you?
Well, I did the TOEFL. It's
okay.
Yeah, this one, the one that you were talking about. Yeah, to give you like what level are you in English. I did take that. So I started from the beginning of the English and I slowly, like I was in ESL. Classes. So
I would have been hanging out with you because I like to skip all my classes, never go to it. And I would just like hop around like whoever I knew and whatever teacher would let me come in and hang out with their students in class. So I was in the ESL. Oh my God. A lot. Like the teacher was cool. I don't even remember the teacher. I just remember the kids and hanging out.
Yeah.
Now your father plays instruments. Yes. Is that correct?
Yes. My dad, it's a musical. He's like a musical genius, I call him, because he didn't like went to school or anything. But to me, my father is the best songwriter in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, I grew up listening to my dad like composing music like all the time. I remember he we compose a song for any occasion. So we had a song for grandma, we had a song for my grandpa, we had a song for my mom. Even he made a song for me. He made a song for my brother. So it's like, he's like,
he should be a musician.
Yeah. I was like, I grew up like him, like taking the guitar, singing in every single family gathering, and just, you know, making the party and everything. So I think it was like my biggest influence growing up in music.
Yeah, dad. And, okay.
Yeah. And I remember he had like a lot of trophies he won when he was younger, all these like festivals singing when he was younger. And I would see them, all this like singing, composing contest. And I would say, Dad, why aren't you musicians? Like, because I want to give you guys a better life, but that's always going to stay in my heart. So that's why he has his own, he's a vet, but he's like a musician by heart.
Yeah. Is he your manager?
No.
Because he sounds like he got you into it. He taught you everything. He wants you to succeed. He's there all the time.
Beyonce is probably her manager.
Definitely.
Yeah,
my fiance is my manager. Yes,
lucky guess. But,
you know, if my dad was my manager, no, he's like a very Latino with like a strong personality. You know, like our parents back then, they were not great at business. And let's be honest, my dad is not the greatest at business. He's a great musician and a great father. But when it comes to like being a manager in this, I wouldn't trust him in that position. So I'm glad my manager is my fiance. So at least he's like on the other side, more in the inspiring side.
I remember before I got into the film industry, I used to be a music manager and I was pulling my hair out. I was like, you know what? I was like, if I don't get out of this, I'm because it was just all these personalities. And I think I had four guys that I was managing. On the road, going to New York, doing this. It was just a lot. And I was like, I gotta get out of this. And then I had one girl, and I never forget, we was doing a photo shoot. We were there and she was in the bathroom for 45 minutes. I was like, I can't do this.
Was she nervous?
I don't know what it was. She was in there for 45 minutes. The photographer was like, Renee, I got stuff to do. I was like, so I said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. So, yeah.
Wow.
Music, managing music, musicians, and it was like.
But that was on the East Coast.
That was on the East Coast. I can imagine here probably is worse. But yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. So. It requires a certain type of personality, like, and you have to be able to deal with a lot of things. So your personality can.
Yes.
My father's personality. He's a Latino, so he's like very. Da, 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 da. I'm like, oh no, baby, you'll be fired, Dad. He's like, I can't be that.
Booking shows, dealing with the promoters. It was just a lot of wear and tear on me, because I knew I would be at work and sometimes I would have to work and then leave, go to New York. I was like, I can't do this.
Absolutely.
So you go to the next hardest industry, film.
Yeah, it's a little bit more different.
You like it better?
Love it better. It's different craftsmanship. Okay. I like it better. It's just a difference from
nice. Very
music
nice.
And then actors. So I think I'd rather deal with actors better than rappers or R&B singers. And film industry is better.
Well, Esther, do you do any acting yourself?
Yes, actually. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I actually have a movie coming out. I actually did the main theme, the soundtrack of the movie.
Oh.
And I have a small role on the movie, but it's going into series. So I will have my own role on that. But it was very good. And that movie, there's Danny Trejo on the movie. And there's a couple of other Mexican artists like Ninel Conde, Joan Herrera. So there's, yeah.
Can you tell us the name?
The name?
Yeah. Escándalo Secreto. It's in Spanish, but it has subtitles. It's a
subtitles.
It's a comedy movie with like a little bit of action. And the interesting thing about this movie that makes it very unique is that it was filmed during pandemic. So you will see probably the first movie that has been filmed during pandemic on Zoom. So the actors are acting through Zoom, and only two of the scenes were in person. So my scene was in person with the other artist, which is actually a very well-known artist from Colombia. His name is Raycon, and the other it was in person when we were acting. So yeah, it's a very, very fun movie, very interesting because it's like I've never seen before. And yeah, I think you guys will enjoy it. You guys will watch it.
Yes. Ooh, I want to see it. It sounds good.
Yes. You're a triple threat then.
Yeah. Sing, violin, act. What's next? Dance.
What about modeling? Have you ever done modeling?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've done modeling for a while since I was like 21. So I've been in the modeling industry for a long time too. Okay. Now I changed my focus into the music just because it was kind of affecting my career a little bit. And people were kind of like, okay, she's a model musician. And I was like, no, I'm a musician. So let me step out a little bit of the modeling industry to gain that, like, you know, respect back. Respect. Because it gets tough out there. I don't understand why. It could be a little bit challenging and people will be like, well, she was, what, like, does she play? Like, and I was like, no, let me take all these things out of my page and let me just like focus and show people my, you know, what I am, like my core, and then the modeling could be added to it. So I started adding it back into my career. Yeah.
So what would you tell your younger self getting into this? If you had to give your younger self advice?
If I had to give my younger self an advice, would be to not take what people say so serious, the negativity. And I would let that kind of like hit me. And I think listening to other people who you should not listen to could be very detrimental, and it could stop you from giving your potential. And if you are close ears to that and follow your heart, your drive, your passion, your intuition, and having the right people around, being very protective, I think it's super important to be very protective of our energy and ourselves. Like if there's someone who's stealing your energy or making you feel anxious, listen to yourself. Why do you feel so anxious about this person? You should not have it around, because it does affect, it could delay a process in your life. It could drive your attention and focus to something else that doesn't really matter. And it could, you know, it could cause certain things. And I think like in life, I will listen to a couple of people that I should have not, or like done things that I should have never lost focus, you know, and it kind of, but things are meant to be, I don't regret it. So I learned that. And that's why I would say that to my younger self. And
so how can you catch that in the future? Like, you know that now not to do that, but do you ever fall in the trap of it happening again?
No, not at all. Cause I learned that, and I am very protective of my surroundings, the people I hang out with, myself. And that's what I learned to value, like, you know, the right people around me and the, you know, life, and just giving the best of myself. And giving the best of myself requires cleaning of my surroundings as well.
Because I read a post where a guy was like, you put an alarm on your car to protect your car. You put an alarm on your house to protect your house. Why can't you put an alarm on your focus to protect your focus and not let people steal your focus? So I thought that was very, a good mnemonic to think about.
Yeah.
You know, putting an alarm on your focus to not let someone steal it.
Yes. Super important, because time will never come back.
Oh, no.
Never come back. And it's like, we're just getting older and life is just happening.
Yes.
And what are we doing for every second that is counting? And that is the thing that we should always think the most. Like, mm-hmm. that's why I'm very protective of my time, and the time is yes. the most valuable thing that we could give to people. And the only thing they will remember is, like, you know, being with you, having a talk with you, mm-hmm. You know, getting to know you in a deeper level. So yeah, learn that throughout the years.
Yeah. Time is very precious, and it's not a dress rehearsal. So you have to be protective with your time, and you have to use your time wisely, because you only have Absolutely. One life.
Absolutely.
No, I was just going to say, well, COVID took away, you know.
Yeah.
Like yeah. year two of everyone, like, so where we thought we were going. Yeah. Like yeah. Australians, they haven't got out. Like, they weren't even allowed to leave like their state.
Like, you wow. couldn't hop states. Yeah. It was crazy.
That's insane.
You've been around the world. So what would you, like, Australia is on my bucket list, but Esther, what would you advise? What would you advise the next gen to put on their bucket list to travel, where you've traveled to?
Well, I really, really enjoy the Middle East. I mm-hmm. loved my experience in Morocco.
Oh.
Amazing. Amazing. I went to Petra also in Jordan. And one of the things, like, I love culture. I love food. Anything different than my culture, I enjoy a lot. Also learning different languages. And Morocco was a great experience. I went to Morocco. I was filming a music video, actually. And it was with Red One. What's his name? Fetty Wap was on the video as well. You guys watched it online. Yeah. French Montana. So that was a very interesting Imagine. Thing, because yeah, it was super fun. And I remember we were there for almost like 15 days, and I got to eat the food. It was amazing. Mm. Like, learn about the culture, Marrakesh, Casablanca, Tetouan, which was another like town that was close to the beach, and you could actually see from afar the Spain, like a coast of Spain, but from afar. So it was like crazy, but I enjoyed it a lot. And Petra also, because I went to it was one of the seven wonders of the world, and in Petra it was like a, how do you call it, it was like a temple back in the days that is inside the, you have to do like a little hike, and I have some photos on Instagram. So I went and I brought my violin and I took some photos in the violin, and I played there sitting on a camel. So it was like kind of cool. And I dressed up as a girl from Petra. So I love that. I was like, I'm going to blend in. I did not blend in. I was like, it was the complete opposite. People were looking at me like, what?
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
So you recommend Morocco?
Morocco, yeah. Morocco. And Jordan, okay. Petra, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention, how were you able to perform the violin on a runway with the models walking yes. down past you when everyone's looking at you?
Yes.
It's part of me. It's like natural. I feel it like supernatural. I enjoy it. And when you enjoy something, you don't think about it.
Okay.
You know, like if they say, like, if you like to talk, you don't even think about talking, it just comes out. So it's like that when I'm performing. I don't even think about it. I'm just like doing what I love to do. So when I was like, they told me, do the runway. I love modeling. I feel comfortable walking the runway. And with the violin, I feel even more confident when I'm holding it. So, you know, it's like
the stage was all yours.
Yeah.
it was fun. It was a great experience. I'm always very grateful to be able to like do events like that, do like things that are very like, you know, include fashion with music, because they go alongside together, you know. And and it was just like very iconic for my career, because it was the first time I've ever done it for the Miami Swing Week at the Faena Forum. So it was great. I loved it.
Sounds nice.
I was like, wow, that's amazing. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, never. Yeah.
I do want to talk about, Esther, your nonprofit. What made you start that or begin it in the first place?
You know, I always dreamed of helping people somehow. And the best way of helping them from my side is through music, what I could give. I grew up, thank God I was fortunate to have parents that bought me a violin, but not everybody has that opportunity. And I always think if I didn't have that opportunity, what would it be of my life? So I want to be an instrument of being able to like give instruments to kids and give them opportunities for them in the low income communities where it's not accessible, because who knows if the next Shakira, Jay-Z, they're there in the community. So they need help. They need access. And yeah. I think that's the way how I wanted to give those opportunities and access and be able to help somehow the low income communities and the kids to have a dream, to have something that they could have hope of being who they want to be in the future. If either it's music or not, and we're still providing something that could give them some type of hope to you know, get inspired in the future. So that's where Asaf Angels came. And when I had the opportunity to do it, I was like, I'm going to open a nonprofit, open the first school in Colombia, and we're helping also in Ensenada, Mexico. And then I'm starting with five students, and we have an event coming up. So I'm testing a curriculum that I'm building for music and how to learn how to play violin, and testing it with these kids. And eventually my dream is to have schools all over the world where we could give musical studies, musical instruments, not only violin, but piano, guitar, drums to kids. And that could help them, you know, in the future, have a career and, you know, make some money.
To also know that they even like playing an instrument.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even get that opportunity to know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I feel there's a big gap in society from, like, you know, people that have money and people that don't have money, and the access to music, it's like only for people that can afford it.
Yeah.
And if we break that gap and they give the same opportunities to both communities, that's definitely going to help our world be a better place.
Yeah, so people doing what they love and being able to make money off of it.
You don't know what hidden talent that you may have in these impoverished communities.
Yeah, and then just knowing that you were able to help, oh my God, one of the next kids become next big thing. That's great. And that's like an example, like this works, you know? So it's just a great satisfaction to see.
Jamie Foxx just did a movie with Robert Downey Jr., the violinist. He just did a movie, Jamie Foxx.
I will watch it.
I think was he homeless and he had a violin, but it was called The Violinist. I think it's on Netflix with Robert Downey Jr. So that depicted what you're talking about. So
I'm gonna watch it. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. I'll watch it for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you being our leading lady this week. Is there anything you want to promote, anything you want to plug or let people know where to find you?
Definitely would like to invite all of you guys who are listening to come join me to any of my performances. I have residency in Vegas, a Souk nightclub. I will be DJing there and presenting one of my next singles release, which is Lost in Paradise. It's an electronic song, and also to watch the movie, which will be available on distro.tv. It's free platform, you guys can watch it for free, and it has subtitles. Also listen to the soundtrack if you guys want to. It's available on Spotify. Okay. And you guys can find me on Instagram or any of your social media preferences by Esther Anaya. So Esther Anaya, Anaya.
Well, Esther, I want my mix CD. So
absolutely. Okay. I will make you one.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was a pleasure sharing, you know, a bit about my life with you guys. And I enjoyed it very much.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for being on.
Yes. Definitely a leading lady.
Oh, we're all excited here. Girl power. I love it.
Well, thanks to all of you for tuning in to this week's episode of Leading Ladies with our guest today, Esther Anaya. And if you can share, like, subscribe with us, or if you have any comments or suggestions, collab pitches, you can email our team at heapent@gmail.com. Until next time, see you guys.
Continue to lead.
Bye.
Bye-bye.